Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this morning service. It's fantastic when you get people looking. Oh, does that? I need to. Oh. Thank you, Ali. I'll call her out. She'll do that. Good morning and welcome to this morning service. Welcome to Mothering Sunday. Hello. Welcome, all you young ladies in the church. Welcome. I hope you've all received a little bag. If you haven't, speak to Ali afterwards. Or Mark, you've probably got bags there. I was thinking, what is my favourite kind of passage in the Bible that talks about mothers and their reflections? And it always goes back to Jesus, to Mary and Jesus in the birth scenario in Bethlehem, where Mary cherishes all these things in her heart. And I think that's what God wants to do. He wants to cherish us in his heart. And I just have that image of Mary cradling Jesus, just wondering what has just happened. I can imagine that scenario there, and just remembering those things in our heart. And we're going to read a little passage later on about God remembering these things in our hearts, remembering us. We're going to read from Isaiah 40, as we go into this morning's service. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these? Who will bring out the starry hosts one by one and call them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary and tired. He has understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Come this morning and let us praise the Lord our God.
Please stand.
Oh, do? We shall lift up a shout. What shall we do? We shall praise Him. What shall we do? For our God made a way. We'll give Him all thanksgiving. Magnify,
magnify
His holy name.
His holy name.
For He is greatly.
He is greatly.
To be praised.
To be praised.
Magnify,
magnify
His holy. We'll give Him all thanksgiving. won't be quiet. We shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. Shout out your praise.
Lift up your praise this morning to our Heavenly Father. Sing out your praises to Him this morning. Lift up your voice to Him this morning. Father, we praise you. We worship you. We give you our all, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your mercy on us, Heavenly Father. We praise you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please do take your seats. Ali, jumping the queue.
I'll be quick. Just a big thank you to anyone who came to the Quench pop-up yesterday. A lot of you, when you've done a pop-up on the Saturday, say, are you going to have it up Sunday? Well, there's a mini, small version of it in the hall. So if you weren't able to come yesterday and you want Easter cards, eggs, whatever, or just a nice little general gift, come and see me. I'll be out the back. If you ordered the J. John book as well, I've got those for you too. Thank you very much. That was very quick.
Thank you very much. I've lost John. Where's John gone? Ah, there he is.
Thank you. Friday, April the 3rd, is a very important day, incredibly important. It's my wedding anniversary.
Well done.
But even more important than that, is in fact it's Good Friday. And traditionally, together with the other churches in the town, we do a walk of witness and have a joint service in the market square. This year is no different, except for the fact that rather than starting at Dan Albone car park and walking along a road where there's very few houses, this year we are starting actually in King's Reach, in the square in King's Reach. I'll check with Miller's Coffee Shop, see if they're going to do takeaway coffees at the start. But we're starting from there to, and then working our way past the gates at Stratton, so some folks can join us at Stratton there. We're coming past BBC here, and you can join us there. But if you can make it down to King's Reach and make the start there, so that we have a really good, significant number of people walking through the King's Reach area and back to here. We need some marshals, and we need folks to carry the cross. And in previous years, folks on the back row there have done us do superb job. So hopefully this year we'll have some folks to, not necessarily all the way, you can work in a shift pattern. But so that's Good Friday, and there'll be more details coming out for various timings in the next couple of weeks. But please make certain that we make this a real work of witness to our town on over Easter, and we can bless the Lord that way. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you. A bit of a reminder, we do have the Prayer Connect service this evening at 6:30. Notice, are you coming to notice as well? Fine, I forgot about that. This is my wife, ladies and gentlemen, who forgot I was doing a notice for her. There we go. Oh, absolutely.
Yes, so enjoyed the sunshine yesterday, you'll know that summer is coming, and with summer coming, we're going to be outside a lot more, and church camp is coming. So it's time now to start thinking about booking in for this year's church camp. It's going to be 26th to the 28th of June, the last weekend in June, and we're going back to the same campsite, which is a little village called Barrow, which is just this side of Bury St Edmunds, so less than an hour from Biggleswade. It's a great weekend, lots of fellowship, lots of fun. We have some short family-friendly worship sessions within that. We have fish and chips, we have a barbecue, we have a picnic. We have a lot of good fun together. This year, the prices have had to go up slightly because the site has raised their fees too. So it's £50 for adults and £15 for children. And this year, you need to book and pay direct on Church Suite. So if you could look at that, the link for the Church Suite site is on the notice sheet. It's on the screen there. Or come and see me afterwards. If you don't have any camping equipment and want to come and see me. I'm sure we'll be able to sort something out. You don't need to do a lot of cooking at the weekend. Everything's kind of pretty much catered one way or another. And if you want to come just for the day, there'll be words about that near the time. But do think about coming for the whole weekend if you can, because you miss out if you just come for the day. And before I sit down, with it being sunny, on a little plug for next Saturday is the church's hiking group's next walk. If you fancy a walk in the sunshine next week, we'll be leaving from the church car park about 10:15 and just a short walk up to the RSPB cafe along by the river and up there and back again in time for a late lunch. So if you fancy doing that next weekend, you're welcome to join. Meet us here at 10:15. Thank you.
I'll put this away thinking this is probably the last notice. There we go. A reminder that we've got the prayer connect this evening at 6:30. Next Saturday morning is men's breakfast. If you could sign up via Church Suite, that's excellent. If not, do come and see me and book yourself in. And on the 29th of March, a Sunday evening at 6:30, we do have a church meeting, and there is an election of an elder on that as well. So if you are a church member, you are greatly encouraged to come along and support that meeting. A couple of readings this morning, but a very short one I'm going to do just now is from Luke 15. A very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of us. But the Pharisees said, and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep and find it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. As I said, that's probably a very familiar passage to us, but I want to kind of take this and lead this into communion, which is not typically a very communion passage to pick that up. But what I just wanted to remind us of all this morning is that God notices us. He's aware of who we are and where we are in our situation in life. Like the shepherd in that parable, there's 100 sheep in his fold, but he notices when this fold isn't complete. He notices when one person is missing out of that fold. And he notices us. He knows who we are. And God wants us to be with him, to be part of his fold. So in that story, the shepherd goes out to find the lost sheep. Now, for those that know these things, sheep are not very bright characters anyway, and quite often get themselves into tricky circumstances. How often do we get ourselves into tricky circumstances? Just by being in silly situations and doing silly things and walking away from God. The kind of point of that story is the shepherd goes out, leaves the 99 behind in a safe environment, and goes out to find that lost one. He sacrifices his time, his effort to go because you are precious in God's sight. He wants you in his family. So whether this be the 100,000th time you've come back to God or whether this is the first time you've come back to God, remember God loves you, cherishes you, and sacrificed his son so you can be part of his fold. What also struck me is actually God knows where we are. He knows what's going on in our life. So whether you've had a great week, a disappointing week, whether you're struggling emotionally, mentally, health-wise, financially, God knows those circumstances. And he wants to be alongside you, to support you, and be part of his family in doing that. So let's spend a few moments in prayer before we come to communion. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your compassion for us. We thank you for the sacrifice you made for us to call us your own, to call us back into your fold, to call us back into your kingdom, Heavenly Father. And in the parable, it talks about the rejoicing in heaven because the fold is now complete, that lost sheep returns. We thank you for that, Lord, that there is rejoicing in heaven when you call us home, when you call us to be with you as part of your family. You want us to celebrate that, Heavenly Father, because you love us so much. Find a passage in Corinthians, that'd be helpful. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that our Lord Jesus died on the cross to give us a way back to you. We praise and worship you, Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask for a few volunteers to come up and help me serve this. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you're very welcome to share on his table. It's not our table, it's his table. This is for all believers. So if you know the Lord Jesus, you're very welcome to have this. And I'll leave it to the discretion of parents about how they deal with a young family. But if I could have some volunteers, please, that'd be helpful.
Thank you.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. And our Lord said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'm going to spend a few moments in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we just think of those in our church and in our fellowship who can't be here for different reasons, mostly through health reasons. Heavenly Father, we just lift those up to you. Lord, you know those individuals in our hearts that we pray for most. We just give them to you this morning, Lord. Family members, friends, colleagues at work, we just lay them on our heart before you this morning, Heavenly Father. We also remember our wider community of Biggleswade and the town around here. We think of the different churches in the town. St Andrew's, St Peter's, the Methodist Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Brethren Church. There are probably others, Heavenly Father. We just lift them up. We thank you, Lord, that they celebrate you, they worship you, and want to serve you, Heavenly Father. We ask for your anointing on them, that they can proclaim your word and proclaim your kingdom, Lord. At the start of this new week, Lord, we bring before you all the activities that we have as individuals and as a church. You know what's in our email box and diaries for tomorrow morning. We just place that before you. We ask for your wisdom to guide us about how we engage with our colleagues, our customers, those around us, Heavenly Father. Help us to be the salt and light in those circumstances, declaring your kingdom by how we act and interact with people, Heavenly Father, how we react to situations, the good and the bad. Heavenly Father, we come to this table to surrender our lives to you. All aspects of our lives. We thank you for the offerings that this church receives, Heavenly Father, to further your kingdom. We bless you with that. We ask that you bless that money also, Heavenly Father. That this town and this community will be blessed through this church as we declare your kingdom, Lord. Use that gift that we give, Heavenly Father, to further your name, to share your light to this community. Help us to use that to the best of our wisdom, Heavenly Father. We pray for all the activities that are happening in this building this week. We ask for your anointing on it. We ask for your protection on it, Heavenly Father. That those coming in will have a sense of your presence, that know that you are the one true God. We just lift this up in your name. Amen. The children will go out after our next song, led by Ellen, I'm presuming. Yes, thank you. but we're just going to have a reading from John 16. So if you want to open up your Bible apps, open up your Bible and turn to John 16. We're starting at verse 16 and to the end of the chapter. Oh, well done. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me again. Some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean? In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." They kept asking, "What does this mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw what they wanted to ask about this and said to them, "Are you asking one another what I mean when I say, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a newborn baby has entered into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I tell you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I will tell you the truth. My Father will give whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask of the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." The disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and you do not even need to ask, and we do not need to ask any questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered, "but a time is coming and has come when you'll be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Amen. We're going to finish our... No, we're not going to finish. We're going to go to our next song. This is planned service, honestly. I'm going to sing a newish song, Steve. And we're going to follow Steve in whatever song he says next. Thank you.
Are the children going out?
At the end of the song.
Okay, all right, excellent. Right.
Please start.
Oh, Lord, Son. Now, we're going to sing an old, new song. Or a new, old song. Either way. All right. Hear the call of the kingdom, okay? Now, it's nice. I mean, Esther and I were at a Shepherd church last week. Big up, Shepherd. Woo! Right. And the nice thing about it was that we learned a new song, okay? Doesn't all normally reach each them. But it's a new one, dated 2006. But you'll be fine. All right. All right. But yeah, I think some of you already know it. We're going to sing the first verse and the chorus to get them to go into it. All right, Esther? All right. And you'll be fine. Anyway, here we go. Excellent, right. Here we go. Let's try.
Children and youth will now leave to go to their groups. And as we do that, we'll just have a quick prayer as they go out. A second. As Martin comes up and as the children leave, let's bring this to before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed this church with so many young people and children. Lord, we just thank you for the teachers and leaders of those groups. We just ask your blessing upon them all, Heavenly Father, that they will have a great time learning more about you. Lord, we just thank you for Martin. We just ask you to place your hand upon him and that the words he speaks this morning will come directly from you and touch our hearts. Amen.
Josh, can you do the blessing again? Yeah. No, it just fell off. Thank you, Gareth. I do actually have one more notice, but I didn't want to upset Gareth by doing it earlier on, and that is going back to Good Friday. It's our turn to actually run the outdoor service, and I've already managed to get some musicians, which is lovely. Thank you very much for that. I do need two people who are confident readers, and one of those people does need to be female. So if you're a confident reader, and part of you, one of you, is female, then please do come and see me at the end. I've got two readings. One has to be female because it's Pilate's wife. The other one can be either because it's down as the wife of a chap called Clopas, who nobody really knows who that is, so it doesn't really matter if that's male or female. But if you fancy a go at that, please do let me know. Otherwise, I will be sending messages to certain individuals to encourage them to do it. Okay. Every few weeks, we jump in the car and we drive up the A1 to visit family or to pop up to our holiday home in Lincolnshire. And for the past couple of years, and for at least one more year, our journeys come to a grinding halt around the Black Cat interchange. Anybody else want to say amen to that? Yeah. Of course, if you time it right, it's not so bad, but sometimes you're sitting there enjoying the queue for what seems like an eternity. But it's worth it. And it's worth it because of what we know is on the other side. There's our grandchildren, Peterborough United. Or a couple of days of R&R. And so whatever frustration we have with the traffic at the interchange, it turns to joy because of what it leads to. And here in this passage, Jesus is talking about something similar, but much more important than getting stuck at the Black Cat roundabout. And we find the core of what he's saying in verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. That's one of those passages where we want to kind of edit a bit of it out, isn't it? Don't like this idea about weeping and lamenting and being sorrowful. Can we just jump straight to the joy, please, Lord? But the Lord says no. And when he's talking to the disciples, he's telling them something's going to happen that will cause them grief and sorrow. But they have to go through that grief and sorrow in order to discover the joy that is on the other side. Now, I've been a little bit creative, well, I think I have this week. I've called this talk Reasons to be Joyful, 1, 2, 3. And that's with apologies to Ian Dury and any fans of his music, or even to anyone who even has a clue who Ian Dury is. Guys at the back, come and find an old person. Oh, they've gone out, haven't they? Never mind. Okay. Ben, come and talk to me afterwards. I'll tell you who Ian Dury is. Okay. Excellent. Or, alternatively, Three Steps to Heaven. Originally released by Eddie Cochran in 1960. And brilliantly revived by the great Shawaddy Waddy in 1975. Take either of those titles. That's my joyful offering to you today. Reason, or step one, comes in verses 16 to 22. The disciples will encounter sorrow because of Jesus' death on the cross. Just as a woman suffers the pain and struggles of childbirth, the disciples will struggle with the pain of losing Jesus. But then after the sorrow, comes the joy of resurrection. And that's one of the things Jesus meant when he said, you will not see me for a while, then you will see me again. He knew, said this the last few weeks, seems to keep coming up, doesn't it? Maybe there's somebody here who needs to hear this, that Jesus knew what was going on. He knew that he was going to die, and he knew that his death would be followed by a resurrection, and that the sorrow of his death would be followed by the joy of his new life, not just for him, but for all those of us who choose to follow him. And just for those of us who have not born children on this Mother's Day, here's a quote. It says this. It says, giving birth is terrifying. A couple of ums there, okay. It involves sharp pain, convulsion, breathing difficulties, and a form of agony that mere men can only watch with awe. But most women giving birth go through it with eager expectation. Their hearts are already set on the new young life that's waiting to come into the world. I do have to say that was written by a man, but I think quite an observant man. It's been a while since our children were born, but I do remember the process of it. And yeah, some of that really does ring true. And through Jesus' death, through all the sadness and sorrow of his suffering, new life comes as he rises from the grave. Think back a few weeks, lest the grain of wheat falls into the ground, is buried and dies. New life cannot come. It's the same principle. You have to go through the sorrow and suffering of the crucifixion in order for new life to come into the world. That's the only way it could happen. And with that new life comes joy. And some of that joy is knowing this, that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. What does it mean to be in Christ? If anyone puts their faith in Jesus, that believes in his death and his resurrection, for them, the new creation has come. This is God's recreation of the world, if you like. It's the recreation of you and of me, restoring us to the original maker's plan for us to know the love and the life of God within us. And that's good news. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I don't know about your old life. My old life wasn't great. But in the new life, I know that I have got Christ in me and with me, who will never leave me or forsake me, who helps me through every single step of every day. And I know that in him, I have victory over death, because the Bible says those of us who are in Christ will rise with Christ. As he rose, so too will we. Some of you need to look a little bit happier about that. And this new creation is empowered by the giving of the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended back to heaven to take his place at the Father's side. So we have God the Father sending God the Son, and then releasing God the Spirit into our lives so that we are never on our own. No matter what we encounter in our lives, we can counter it with joy because Jesus promises to be with us all the way. As God said to Joshua through Moses, we too can be strong and courageous. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What a wonderful promise. And you know, that's a promise often, and I know we do it at the best of intentions. We pray, Lord, please be with somebody, so and so, as they're going through what they are. Don't need to ask him that. He's already promised to be there. Lord, please let so and so know that you are with them. It's a slightly different prayer. Because God is with us, but sometimes we don't realise it, we don't recognise it, we don't sense it, we don't acknowledge it. But these verses here, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And this is repeated in Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5 is a quote of these words that God said to Joshua through Moses. And then, of course, we have Romans 8. I've shortened it down, but Paul basically saying he is convinced that nothing, then there's a long list of things that he includes in that nothing, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. No thing. Once we have the love of Jesus, once we put our faith in him, we are a new creation. Hallelujah. Tough crowd this morning. And nothing will ever separate us from the love of Christ. The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Feel free to let your faces know that's good news. Joking aside, when I was preparing this, I really sensed that there's someone here this morning who especially needs to hear that. You especially need to know that God goes before you and will be with you. You need to know that he'll never leave you or forsake you. And you need to know that nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't know who that's for, but if that resonates with you, come and tell me afterwards. It's always nice to know that I might have hit the mark. And we can pray some of that through. Reason or step two, verses 23 to 28. There is joy to be found in prayer. Now, this may come as a shock to some of us. When we think of prayer, maybe joy is not the first thing that we think of. Maybe staying awake is the first thing we think of. Maybe somebody else using big words that we don't really understand is the first thing that we think of. Maybe we feel that there's nothing we can possibly say or offer. But it's true. There is joy to be found in prayer, because through Jesus, we now have unrestricted, unfettered access to God the Father in prayer. And that's the reason for joy. God is no longer distant and unknowable, and seen as somebody who might just be looking down on us and possibly judging us or whatever. Through Jesus, we discover the joy of knowing God as our Father and being able to share life with him. And if you want to know how to talk to God your Father, watch how your young children tell you that they love you. Watch how your young children or grandchildren want to share the smallest thing with you. Watch how they shed a new light on things in their experience that we've taken for granted. And, you know, I've got two grandchildren, so's Ali, funnily enough. When they come and tell us things, we love to hear what they're telling us, even if we don't understand what they're talking about. Because sometimes they're just weird. God always understands what we're talking about. And he loves to hear us share with him. He loves it when we connect with him. And here's something else as well. This joyful new life and this joyful prayer comes with another blessing. You don't have to go through a priest or a minister to talk to God anymore. You don't have to ask a saint to have a word on our behalf. Because here Jesus says, when we pray in his name, he will give us what we ask. The risen Lord Jesus has demonstrated and declared that he has the power, the access and the authority for all of us. And all we have to do is pray in his name, which, remember, isn't a magic formula to go on the end of our demands, but it's making sure that our prayers are in line with his will. Making sure that our prayers are in line with his word and with his purposes for us. One commentator puts it like this: a trusting reliance on Christ's sacrifice to cover our unworthiness, and a sincere commitment to seek only those things which would accord with his glory. That's prayer in Jesus' name. That's when it becomes joyful. That's when it becomes powerful. And often we sense that joy more strongly when we're praying with other people. I don't know why it is, and I'm not going to ask for hands up, but I struggle praying on my own. I don't feel much joy praying on my own. I feel frustration a lot of the time. But when I'm with other people, and it doesn't matter if it's 2 people or 5 people or 20 people or 200 people, when I'm in a group praying, something changes in the dynamic. And I feel the joy. It comes from the faith of the others who are with me. And I don't feel sleepy then. When I'm on my own, I feel sleepy. But when I'm in a, this is why I love praying in small groups. This is why I love encouraging you to come to things like Connect Prayer that's on tonight. Because there is a power there. There is an energy there. There is a joy there that, quite honestly, if you're not coming to things like that, you're missing out. So I'm really leaning in on your FOMO this morning. Yeah? You don't know what you're missing. Come along and engage with God in Connect Prayer and feel the joy. And if you want to be sure that you will know the joy of praying and the joy of answered prayer, one very simple thing to do: pick up your Bible and pray God's word back to God. Pray God's word back to God. Do you think that when you pray God's word to God, it's not going to be according to his will? Anyone? No, of course not. When we pray God's word back to him, we are praying in Jesus' name. We're praying that that glory will come, and we know that it's what God wants us to be involved in. But for that to happen, we need to know God's word. We need to understand it. We need to be open to his spirit to enable us to understand it. So reasons 1 and 2, we can be joyful because Jesus promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. We'll never be on our own. Reason 2, prayer can be joyful when we get it right. Reason, or step 3, come in verses 29 to 33. We can be joyful because Christ has won the victory over sin and death and hell and the devil. Feel free to smile. Feel free to receive the joy. Feel free to mumble hallelujah. Because this is amazing news. This is the best news that anyone can ever receive. Christus Victor, Christ the victor, over everything that this world can throw at us. Absolutely everything. Remember, there's nothing that can separate us from his love, and there's nothing that is greater than he is. And you put the two together, and that's a real reason for joy. And because Christ has won the victory, we know that one day he's going to return, and he's going to put everything right. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to live for eternity in his presence, in his peace, in his love. There's going to be no sin, no death, no hell, no suffering, no sadness, no pain, everything. Because of what Jesus did on the cross,
Because he rose from the dead, we can know this victory for ourselves, which means we can know joy as we walk through this life. Even though we live in what's called the now and the not yet of the kingdom, what that means is Jesus has inaugurated the kingdom through his resurrection. He's introduced it into the world, and heaven touches earth in all these places. But it is not going to be fully functional. That's not the right phrase, but that'll do. It's not going to be fully functional until Jesus returns at the end of time and puts everything back into place. But it all hangs on the resurrection. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, none of this would be possible for us. We would have no joy, because we would not be able to know that he is with us forever. We would have no access to the Father. And we would not have the realization that even though we're halfway through our lives and it might be difficult at the moment, we know that at the end there is going to be a victory and a celebration. We're going to have to struggle and suffer through life, because that's what life is. And again, we come back to that, you'll see me a little while, then you won't see me, then you'll see me again. Then this is also referring, I think, to that second coming of Jesus. We're living in that period, waiting for him to come back. So in a sense, it's the sorrowful period, but whatever sorrow we suffer as we walk through life as Christians now, when Jesus returns, that will be turned to joy. The resurrection is the center point of our faith, the center point of our mission, the center point of our hope, and the center point of history itself. One day he will return, and on that day everything will either willingly or unwillingly recognize his victory and bow before him. Sorrow doesn't get the last word. Death doesn't get the last word. Joy, love, and life get the last word. Hallelujah. Oh, we're getting there. A slightly louder mumble than usual. Excellent. And so this process of childbirth is actually still going on for those of us who live this side of the cross. Romans 8, 22 to 24. All creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. All creation, even the earth, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the stars, everything is groaning in anticipation of this new birth. And you can read about that in Colossians chapter 1. It talks about Jesus being the firstborn who reconciles all things to himself. All things. Nothing is missed out. Not only so, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's anyone who's a Christian, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. And that groaning might come out as, oh Lord, why are there still wars? Oh Lord, why are those people being persecuted? Why is there a famine? Why is there an earthquake? Why is there a flood? Why is there a drought? All these things, Jesus says, are part of those birth pains. That helps us understand them. It doesn't say, oh, I don't need to worry about them then. But it helps us understand what's going on. And we're told to live being aware of what's going on around us, because our joy might be coming sooner. To be honest, every day we live is a day closer to Jesus returning. Of course it is. So we see the suffering around the world, and we see that it's these pains of childbirth, and at some point that will give way to the joy of the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus has promised to bring. Until he returns, we will face sorrow, we will face pain, we will face trouble. But if we base our lives on his teaching, if we base our lives on the teaching of the apostles and the experience of the Holy Spirit, we can know joy as we walk in his victory, knowing that he will never leave us or forsake us. And then if we're still alive on that day, first of all, the dead in Christ will rise. But then we will rise to meet him in the air. And that's a welcoming committee, by the way, because he's coming back. And we'll rise to meet him. And what a day that's going to be for those of us who know and love Jesus. That's our hope. That's our destiny. And that's our reason for joy. Because he promises never to leave us. He promises us access to God as our Father. And he promises us the benefits of his victory over sin and death and hell. And he promises all of that when he says, truly, truly, or very truly, or truly I tell you. This is part of the truth that can set us free when we know it in here. These are our three reasons to be joyful. Now, if I'd been creative enough, I would have tried to write a song along the lines of reasons to be joyful, 1, 2, 3. But I'm not, so I haven't, for which you are eternally grateful. But let's just pause for a moment and reflect on all these things that are ours because of Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, you've never realised that before today, and today it's all making sense. And I just want to invite you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus and know this joy that he offers. And of course, joy is not a feeling, it's more a kind of a state of being. Happiness is the feeling that can come with joy. Joy is something more constant. There is no one else who can give us what Jesus gives us. There is no one else who comes anywhere near. So let's be quiet before God for a moment, reflect on that. Prayer team will be here at the end of the service if you'd like to receive prayer. Either you've come with something that you want to have prayer for, or that something that's happened in the service has sparked something. And, you know, it's really good to pray. There's nothing that's bad about coming to the front to pray. I know sometimes we feel a bit embarrassed, or people think there might be something wrong with me or whatever. Well, that might be true, but that doesn't really matter. I remember an Anglican vicar, a chap called Simon Ponsonby, who's a vicar in Oxford. He came to speak at a conference I went to, and he said, whenever somebody at the front offers prayer, I'm there, he said, because I could always do with more of God. We could always do with more of God. And that's what we're trying to do when we offer prayer at the front. It's not say, only come if you've got a problem. Come if you want more of Jesus. And if that includes a problem you want prayed for, that's fine. Because you're coming to someone who promises never to leave you or forsake you. You're coming to someone who promises you victory and a relationship with the Father. That's got to be worth coming to ask for. So I will let you be quiet for a minute now. And then we're going to sing our final song. We thank you for all that you offer us in and through him. Lord, would you take away our fear and our doubt, and help us to grow in joy as we think about these things that we've thought about today. And may that joy just grow and grow in us, so that whatever life throws at us, we can know your victory, your presence, your ear listening to us. All because of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Take us deeper into you, we pray. Amen.
Let's stand. Thank you.
as ever, there's tea and coffee in the back room. Do join us for lovely biscuits and tea and coffee through there. We do have a prayer team at the front. But I just want to finish with these words from Jude. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for his mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to come to bring you eternal life. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.